The show's coming right up, but first, this message. We know it might be exciting to date a mutant, but if you or someone you know is dating a mutant, your life may be in danger. So remember, date non-mutants. But if you're having trouble breaking up with a mutant, contact Sentinel Services. Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Not really a spoiler from Gifted Number 2, but there was this awkward exchange at the hospital. Just welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt, at Christian DMZ, at the far end of the desk. Hi, Erica Green, at Erica J-A-Y-E Green. And next to her, Michael Shirley, at Michael X Shirley. I love MichaelShirley.com.
Yeah.
And joining the panel starting today, our friend, Carrie Lane, at Carrie DL.
Ooh, I heard a Kelly at the start of that.
No, I said Carrie.
Okay.
Like Sissy Spacek, like hi. Carrie. Yeah. Yeah. K-A-R-I, not Carrie, yeah, that way.
Yes.
Bruce got to rewatch it.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I called you Kelly. We'll find out. But anyway, welcome to the show and to everyone watching, but welcome to, and you're representing Spidey.
Yes, there we
so,
go.
We've got a whole spectrum.
I've got some people's least favorite character, Iron Fist.
Okay.
Who we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Iron Man, exactly. So, there's a lot of things to talk about this week, but where I want to start is sharing with everyone the results of an AfterBuzz TV poll. Mm. Which of our weekly shows is your favorite so far? Marvel TV Weekly, Kardashians Weekly, Horror Weekly, or Bachelor Nation Weekly? By the way, Horror Weekly is co-hosted by our very talented engineer, at Tony Be Dead, Anthony. See, I told you I was going to forget it. But
and me.
Coming in at number 14, with 14% tied, Horror TV, Kardashians Weekly, 19% Bachelor Nation Weekly, 53% of you prefer Marvel TV Weekly. So thank you for making us your favorite of all the new weekly shows.
And Anthony, at least we got votes.
What's happening?
I hate to correct you, but it's not AfterBuzz. It's Popcorn Talk, and it's Horror Movie News. Horror TV News is actually what Alina
Oh, that's the other
is.
One.
That's
yeah.
a different show?
Yeah, good it's a different point. Show.
Okay, so
we're still the best, right?
We're still better. I'm pretty sure we're more popular.
Like, who's ruining this?
Yeah, Anthony, I'm pretty sure we're more popular than you are, but we'll find out.
Oh, that makes sense.
We'll find out.
It's Marvel.
But people should follow you at Tony Be Dead. D-E-D, all right? So how about that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got somebody new on the panel, and obviously the show is still very new, but if you're watching live, please join us in the YouTube chat. And if you're not watching live, leave lots of comments, as many of you have been doing, and hopefully we'll have time to get to some tonight. But I wanted to have Carrie tell us, who's your favorite Marvel superhero?
I would say Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, I wore the shirt too. It's one of those I'm not exactly sure what started it, but I think I just love like his sense of humor and the sarcasm, and just he wasn't a perfect superhero, and it was fun to watch his awkwardness. As he's like learning, and I definitely grew up watching the cartoon and read a lot of the comics too, so I liked them all
together.
What
do you think about Spider-Gwen? I don't quite get it. I haven't really fully invested
in it. I haven't gotten into that yet, but it's one of those I kept seeing it at conventions, and I'm like, there's so many like spin-offs though, so I'm like,
It's like Spider-Gwen was designed solely for cosplay, you know?
Yes,
It's like they sell an official Marvel
and there's
cosplay.
Like the hoodie thing, yes.
It's like she is Gwen Stacy, but she's not.
She's an alternate reality Gwen Stacy.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's, and it's funny because Erica was like, hey, who's that? Like, that was literally your first question.
Girl, which
like,
one is
who's
that?
That
one?
Yeah. Who's that? Who's the girl who's clearly not Spider-Man?
Because there's there's other female, like, Spider-Man option things too, so I'm like, well, whatever.
There's Spider Girl somewhere.
Spider Woman.
Yes, I have
like still.
I have Spider Girl.
Well, there's 70s Spider Woman and 80s Spider Woman. So.
I love the costume. Oh, yeah.
And Silk's kind of like a Spider-Man.
Yes.
Too.
See, there's so many Spidey options, and you get to meet some of those characters on the animated series.
Yes.
So, but not Spider Gwen because she's newer. So you weren't here the first week, but we talked about our favorite Marvel superheroes, and you both. Michael and Erica both liked Jean Grey. And nice. You're repping old school Jean Grey today.
I do.
Yeah. For those watching on YouTube, it's the original X-Men, the Jack Kirby X-Men.
I think this is cool. This X-Men shirt is so awesome.
It's great.
Good color.
In the matching like New Mutants style uniforms. And I went with Kitty Pryde because I identified with her because I'm a Jewish girl from Illinois. No, because when I was reading comics, she was like so much younger than everyone. I'm like, oh, I can identify, you know, with a kid that gets to hang out with the X-Men. But we're going to have a second question today for everyone. And we'll start with Michael. Your favorite Marvel non-superhero character.
Well, that follows up to
you. Ties
yours.
Exactly why I started with you.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde's pet, Lockheed.
Who is an awesome purple dragon.
Yeah, they find him outer space and like he comes back with them and
she's always with Lockheed after that point.
And he does have an affinity towards one other magic.
Colossus' sister. Right.
He has an affinity towards her, but he's always at Kitty Pryde's side.
I mean, you know.
He can get bigger and smaller. He can talk with her, too.
Wow.
Telepathically.
Oh, yeah. So you see, and Lockheed, so far, not in any of the movies. So
no, I don't know why, because I feel like the way Lockjaw is, I feel like fans would like love Lockheed.
Can't wait to talk about Lockheed. Lockheed and Lockjaw.
I feel like Lockheed would get a big like fan, like kind of Rocket Raccoon kind of like.
Yeah,
I think everyone would really like him.
But see, here's the problem: is that they barely use Kitty Pryde in the movies.
Because they finally got a little bit better when she was like running through the walls and pulling and grabbing people through. Always like, oh, good, you're utilizing the powers,
but. She's supposed to be the one who travels, you know, back in time for Days of Future Past. At least she was in the comics. And they're like, nope, we're going to send our most popular character. Wolverine's going back in time. Made sense. It worked out. Great movie. Loved it. But, you know, Kitty got shortchanged. And Erica, I know the answer, but the audience doesn't. Your favorite Marvel non-superhero character.
Claire.
That's right. Claire Temple.
Daredevil, yes, Claire Temple. She has her own power. She heals everyone. So she's like a bad, like totally.
And people are very critical of Iron Fist, the series. But she realizes in that series, like, oh, I should probably learn to like not get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
So
she really learns how to fight.
She has Colleen Wing show her how to fight. And I don't know of anybody who hates Colleen Wing. And I'll be very upset if anybody I love her. So
I love her. I interviewed her at Comic-Con. She's super cool.
Jealous. mine is fairly obscure and not great, but my favorite non-superhero character is Willie Lumpkin, the Fantastic Four's mailman, as portrayed by Stan Lee in Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer. I'm probably picking him because it's obscure and because you said Lockheed, and I was like, oh, I should have picked him. But I'm sticking with Willie Lumpkin, whom I love.
That's funny.
If you love Willie Lumpkin, please tell us in the chat, or you can tweet us at ABTV Marvel. That's for all the Marvel shows on AfterBuzz. And you'll be able to find there now our after shows for both Inhumans and The Gifted. So you can find out about those shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it comes back, all that. But, not to be rude, Carrie, your favorite non-superhero Marvel character.
That was really hard to think of, I must say. My first thought is kind of a joke and serious, and the Stan Lee cameos.
That's kind of great, you know? I mean,
because all those characters, except for one, you could argue, are all non-superheroes or all human.
Right.
And I just thought they were really funny, and they're always, like, always a pleasant surprise. I always smile and, like, yay, it's Stan.
I have a friend who hates the Stan Lee cameos.
Oh, no, they're dank.
Yeah, because it's exactly why it takes him out of the moment.
No. And then in thinking a TV show, I was going to say Phil Coulson on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. It's true. He's not superpowered, but
he's on that fine line. And he's technically died and come back in Alien.
But, you know. He's non-superpowered.
Human enough.
Anyway, we'll get to know the panel a little bit better in future weeks. We have some more of these kinds of questions. But let us know your favorite Marvel superhero, your favorite non-superhero. Just go ahead, tell us in the chat. If there's anyone in the chat, Anthony, let us know. Yeah. If not, I will be brave and not cry until after the show's over. Anyway.
Or you can leave comments down below because we can see them later.
That's true. We'll see them after the fact. As I was reading some earlier. Some of them.
Yeah.
I
talked to a couple people too.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got into it with some people.
Not really. They just said someone said I was, what did they say?
That you complain about everything.
That I complain about and like, yeah. I'm just like, no, I'm just picky.
So I don't know what about you makes you a complainer, because you liked the Inhumans, you like Iron Fist. So the things
I'm
that
getting
everybody
really
hates,
into the human Inhumans, and it's too. Like it's like turning it. Into yes. like my favorite series oh, that like
favorite series that doesn't have Daredevil in it.
Favorite non-Netflix series.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair.
We do have one person in the chat said their favorite. Zaya says my fave
Dazzler?
Is Sentry and Blue Marvel for non-superhero.
Okay. Yeah. Why didn't Carrie pick J. Jonah Jameson? Yeah, I kind of like J. Jonah Jameson better than Willie Lumpkin, but I'm stuck now. And you know what? I really like the most recent Spider-Man movie, but there's three Spider-Man movies in a row, no J. Jonah Jameson. And, you know, those movies will be better once we get Jonah in there. But this is not what we're going to talk about this week. What we are going to start off talking about is The Punisher, because if you saw our premiere, I'm very excited about The Punisher. I've been excited about The Punisher for more than 30 years now, so I can't help but be excited.
Do you love the old movies?
There's one of them's good. The
second one, like, was like Warzone or something?
No,
like
no,
that,
the
or...
one with Jigsaw, that one's not good. Which one is John Travolta in? Is he in the second or the third one?
Thomas Jane's second one.
Okay, so yeah, he's in that one. It's okay except for John Travolta. The third one's really bad. And the Dolph Lundgren one came out in 1987. So happy 30th anniversary to the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
I've not seen that
one. I have somewhat of a defense for the third one. The Warzone, I believe, a War Journal one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was actually a really good depiction of what Punisher is supposed to be. Unlike the Thomas Jane iteration, where he was a bit more, I guess, tamed.
Yeah, well, you had to make.
Can we have Anthony on as a guest?
I know, we'll have to get somebody else to engineer. But it's a good point. And so the thing about the Dolph Lundgren one is it is not good. But think about how it came out in 1987. It's not like there were other superhero movies coming out. I know he's not really a superhero, but there were no Marvel movies. There weren't even good Batman movies yet. We were still 2 years away from that. So it's like, oh, this is so bad. But I'm like, oh, I love The Punisher so much. He's in a movie. And you kind of shrug off the fact that it was awful and Dolph Lundgren's English was
really
lacking.
Is there by chance like a picture of like the movie poster out there, Anthony? Like
that is the movie poster. The one sheet, as they say. So as we find that, and we'll just roll that in, and then Anthony will help Michael see that, and you will not be excited by that picture. But anyway, what we do have coming, and we know is coming, is a great depiction of Frank Castle, the Punisher. And that'll
you like it better than that one?
Yeah, it's going to be better than that, yeah. Just you should watch it.
I need to see it, because I love the Captain America
The 1990 Captain America is amazing. That, yeah. But this is nowhere near as good as that, and I know what I'm saying. Yeah, this is not as good as the Roger Corman Fantastic Four. This is the worst of that trilogy. But we do have the Netflix Punisher show coming. And there was a whole plan that they were going to have a surprise rollout. People were going to get to see the first two episodes at a panel at New York Comic Con. And then it was going to mysteriously just, boom, it was going to show up last Saturday. And then they made the wise choice, I think, to drop the panel, not roll the show out because it wasn't announced. It was going to be a surprise, and it'll probably still come out in mid-November because of the shooting in Las Vegas. And I guess it makes sense that you make a decision like that, not just because you're a company like Disney, but also because you're very easily criticized if you do that. So, and you feel bad for everything that happened there, and you're just like, yeah, this isn't the right week to have that out. You know, maybe if Comic-Con was next month and they were going to surprise people then, that would be great. But so we don't have Punisher to watch it, but we will have him soon. But my question for the panel is, do you think that in the environment that we're in now, where unfortunately we have mass shootings so often, that is there ever a right time for the Punisher? My answer is yes, because it is pretend, and he is, you know, he's always been shooting bad people. He is a good guy. I know it's a gray area, but he's in the best interest.
He never shoots innocent people.
Right, exactly. So I think that it still works, but, and I'll start with you, Erica. Mm-hmm. Do you think And you've just basically fell in love with this Punisher from Daredevil Season 2. And I know, obviously, you join me in my excitement for this show, but yes. Do you understand the criticism people have, and are you worried that there might be some backlash to the Punisher series?
From seeing the trailer, I can understand the backlash. It's very brutal, very bloody, and they show him, like, even cutting up, even, like, service people, which I know is probably going to have something to say about that, but they humanize the character enough. You know, he is... like the Punisher, he's on a mission of revenge. It's just not something he's out there just killing people for no reason. Just like the killer, you know, the shooter that we just had. He's actually, I mean, I'm not condoning it, but there is actually a reason why he's doing what he's doing. And if it comes to, like, at the end of the series where we see that there's, like, some type of redemption for it, you know, he realizes that at the end of all of this, it's still tragedy, then maybe that can show people that killing is not the answer. So if there's something like that that comes out of it, I think it's going to be phenomenal. But I do think it's a great series. And, yeah, I'm very, very excited to see this.
Yeah, I mean, he's in love with him. He's a character that's been around for about 40 years. Yeah. I think that they have a good sense for how the story arc for the Punisher should play out, you know?
But maybe, you know how they tweak things all the time. So if they can, you know, bring it to a point where they bring that more to the forefront, hey, you kill people and kill people, what's the end of it?
Right, I mean, exactly. Just,
even if it's for, you know, revenge, what's the end of it? You know, people come after your family, they come after your friends. So maybe we have that in a conclusion. Maybe it can really, really work in this society today.
Right. Now, Michael, I know you're not as excited about The Punisher as I am, but that's just because it's just because I'm too excited.
You're super excited about it.
I'm pretty excited.
I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's been around for so long. I mean, that's what he is. He's like a serial mass murderer. Like,
but he, you know, it's not indiscriminate murder. He kills, you know, drug dealers or members of organized crime.
Well, Marvel's not the only one having to do this. Like, I know Ryan Murphy had to recut the episode of American Horror Story that premieres tomorrow. It has a mass shooting in it.
And Gangster Squad, they had to change that scene because that was the movie theater shooting.
So much. Yeah, that was after the movie theater. So they, like, reshot a whole sequence because that was after the Dark Knight.
Say, like, keep it in a later cut, like, you maybe wouldn't air it then, but, like, it's, you know, separate.
I don't think TV shows or music, like, make people kill people.
Exactly. But there are people who do feel that way, so, you know, they do think that it does, so I think they're just,
Matrix,
like...
Matrix came out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point, and, you know, there was a... Nobody send me hate mail, but I never really enjoyed Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I've said it now.
Oh, my God.
I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I'm really surprised.
It's all right. But there was a season finale that was going to have sort of a whole, like, showdown in the high school and, you know, killing vampires left and right, and then Columbine happened, so they're just, like, season just ended early, and they saved it. So, unfortunately, you run into these things, and... You know, there's a lot of different ways to handle it. I think they handled this
being
very
polite,
responsibly.
I think being polite for the people because they're still going to show it. They might recut it. I mean, it's still going to happen, but you know, it's about just being respectful, I guess.
Carrie, your thought. Kelly, your thought. That time was a joke.
I really enjoy the Punisher series. I even like the original. I haven't watched the first film. I think
the
Dolph
Lundgren one? We all need to watch it.
Yeah.
Popcorn in Michael's house. We're all going to go over and watch it.
I like that his character has a code. It's similar to, like, Dexter. He doesn't randomly kill people. It has to be people that are guilty or they've done violence or, you know, they've done something evil. So it's not like mass mayhem and just, you know, flippant violence. So his violence makes more sense, and I really like your idea that maybe later he'll get to that point where it's like, well, what is the end? Like, what is your end game? Like, you've done all this. Like, when are you satisfied? Which he probably won't be. And then you'll have to come to terms with that. So I think it's good they waited. I don't think they should necessarily change anything with it. But, yeah, wait a week longer, wait a month longer. Big deal. We're all going to see it eventually.
I feel pretty confident it's about a month or so that they're waiting. And you know, it's very easy because it wasn't an announced premiere date that they pushed back. So it's very easy to do it.
I think that's smart and respectful.
In the chat, Danny H. agrees with you. He points out that the Punisher has a code like Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Hood, I think, just robbed from
rich
the rich.
People,
he didn't murder the rich. But point well taken, Danny H. Thank you.
Starger also point out, Punisher has a code. Like, it's... But then people could argue that these other people have codes of their own.
Sure.
But Punisher's code, we all get it. We're like, yes, it's the bad people who did bad things. They're not just, like, innocent bystanders that he kills.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's still room in modern day entertainment for the Punisher, for someone who will definitely rain down a hellfire of bullets on people who deserve it. Key point, people who deserve it. So still looking forward to it, and it'll be interesting to see if any adjustments are made to the series. I think they're just waiting, and it'll probably still be the same series it would have been. But let us know what you think in the YouTube comments, or tweet us at ABTV Marvel. We'll move on to some other big news that some people are excited about. And Anthony, this would be the picture that we had you pull a little while ago. I don't know what that is.
That's not it.
There's a picture of Anthony with his shirt off. Since nobody saw it, I have no idea what we just saw. Anyway, the news that Danny Rand the Iron Fist will be in Luke Cage season 2. I'm very excited about this because that's how I knew both of those characters, was as Power Man and Iron Fist. The Heroes for Hire, they were like best friends. And I like them both individually, and I know that puts me in a minority, but you can send the hate mail to me at Christian DMZ or, you know, in the YouTube comments. But I love them together. And my favorite part of the Defenders was not when they're fighting together, just when they're sitting and talking. I'm like, oh man, if it was 8 episodes of them just getting to be best friends, that's all I needed.
I didn't notice that when Defenders, their chemistry like that. So I had no idea this little connection.
Yeah, so, you know, and I think that, you know, hopefully, for at least as far as I'm concerned, there's still an Iron Fist series and still a Luke Cage series. I think they should also have a Power Man and Iron Fist series. So they have their own adventures, but then they team up. And you can have the Defenders, too. We can have all of it. But I just like them together because, you know, look, they're in some ways, they're kind of goofy characters, but they complement each other so well.
Courtney and Chloe Take Miami.
If Luke and Danny take Miami, I will stay up until midnight when that drops. I will not, like, oh, I'll watch it tomorrow. No. As soon as it drops, I'll watch it.
I hope Luke keeps making fun of him, because that was my favorite part of Defenders, is how they were all making fun of Danny Rand. Like, thank you, because they said all the things we're all thinking.
It wasn't real mean.
It was honest. They're kind of like, okay, you say this all the time, or they're like, did he talk about his parents? He does that all the time. Like, it's just honest.
He is the immortal Iron Fist. What do you want? You know? So you want to make sure you know.
No, no. If I was the immortal Iron Fist,
I would tell you every 5 minutes.
But no one else wants to be who that. Luke Cage didn't want to be Luke Cage. No one else wants to be these heroes. I'm the Iron Fist.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's more when he keeps going, like, I went and I traveled and I trained on this secret magical place, and nobody
fought a dragon.
Nobody believes him, and he keeps saying it over and over, and he never gets like, maybe I should hold back on this story.
What was the point you were going to make, Michael?
I don't think everyone's like taking into account that his storyline is that he's been like gone since he's a child.
Yeah, he's still like, basically 15 years old.
Yeah, his social skills suck. That's what they are.
Haven't like progressed. He's been living with a bunch of quiet people. Yeah. Or like he was like what, 8 or 9 years old. So he. Yeah. Kind of, I think it's intentional that he kind of interacts with them the way like a nice middle schooler would interact, you know, and I don't think he fully realized, like, I don't think he realized when he says all this stuff, like, I'm from Kunlun, and I'm like, you know, I don't think he realizes how silly it sounds because he is, you know, he went from being a child and having those magical, you know, imaginary, you know, adventures you have as a child, and then actually going into this place. I don't know. I think you guys are a little hard on
me. No. Hey, if you kept saying something to people and constantly they're giving you, like, what is wrong with you, I think you would be like, all right, I'm going to tone it back just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Maybe the monks let him do what he wanted.
I don't think they
did. No, interacting with these other people, he's like, I don't get it. And he's constantly being told something. And it's just like, just drop the argument and be like, all right, cool. I don't need to mention it again.
Social skills.
Well,
they are lacking.
You have a good point, though, Michael. I would take that into consideration.
I think the dynamic with Luke is going to be great. See them again in Luke's show. And that's kind of what I really want from these Marvel Netflix shows is, you know, just an episode or two. You know, there was a description, I think it was towards the end of Jessica Jones season 1. There's a description like, and a friend from the neighborhood comes by. I'm like, oh shit, it's Daredevil. And I love Claire, but then I'm like, oh no, it's Claire, it's not Daredevil. I really want them to, like, you know, team up. Like, in comics, I love, you know, there was a whole series, Marvel team up. Every month, Spider-Man was hanging out with somebody new. And it's like, great. you're all in New York. Of course you're going to run into each other. And you know each other now. So if you need help, if you need somebody to get punched really hard, you know, I guess you call Danny. If you want somebody that jumps really high and doesn't fly, you call Jessica. But this is what I really like, is that Luke Cage season 2 is going to have one of his friends, and it just happens to be his best friend. So I'm excited. They're not best friends.
He doesn't know.
I was gonna say, well, not yet.
But they're going to be best friends.
But the development of that relationship could be very entertaining.
Yeah. No, and the dynamic is good. I think that Danny and Jessica takes it a little bit further, because it's like his story is where she's like, okay, yeah, I'm out. Like, this, yes. The dragon, and this is not happening. So I'm excited. Just by a show of hands, I guess we'll look at the wide. Who else is excited to see Danny in Luke Cage season 2?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, Carrie felt
I really like Luke Cage.
Sure. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, through all of the Marvel Netflix series, got through all of them so fast. Iron Fist took me forever to get through it.
It took
me so long.
Jessica Jones
I just,
was hard
like,
for me.
Struggled.
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones. No, she also constantly
it's my
whines.
My least favorite Marvel. Oh,
it's Iron Fist is the bottom. I do like her, but she's kind of the least important to the story of the Defenders. You don't need to have watched it, as I said to you. You don't need to see Jessica's show.
No, you watch all of them.
You have to.
No, yes. It's great. I like it. I'm just saying.
I love Jessica.
All right, we get it. Get a room.
I love her.
At Tony B D E D. Anyway, so we're excited. Let us know if you're excited. And if you're not excited, please tell us. But Bryant Baller in the chat is super excited. So he wanted to make sure that he knew. And Zisa Bilou, I am the best thing Netflix can do for Iron Fist. So thank you. I was like, I thought it said something else when I started reading it. But anyway, so we're going to talk very briefly that there was a trailer for The Runaways.
Woo-hoo!
And when we talked in our premiere episode, one, Carrie wasn't there. Two, we kind of used one of those fan-made trailers that we were talking before we started about how much we hate fan-made trailers, because you're looking for a real trailer and you're like, oh, this isn't what I want. But I'll start with you, Carrie, because it's freshest in your mind. Are you same amount of excitement, more excited, less excited now that you've seen the trailer?
More excited. I think it looks really good. I haven't read the whole series, but I've read a bit of it. So it was like bringing these characters alive. Oh my gosh, that one looks like it's perfect. Like what they look like of, you know, like, yes, that's page to screen. And I'm very excited.
Erica, you saw the fake trailer before we did our first show, but now you've seen the real trailer.
I love what he said. He said it's like some Narnia shit, and yes. That's exactly what that was like a mix of that and Charmed. And I was like, oh, this is going to be really exciting. Yeah, I'm actually.
And
really
it'll be on Hulu November 21st. So
looks like a mini movie.
Anthony, you can go ahead and play it underneath us while we talk about it. Sorry, I didn't ask for it. It's just like, let's just talk about it. Can't watch Runaways in Canada, says Star Drew.
Oh, no.
They don't have Hulu in Canada?
Oh.
Well, it's
have territorial, you can watch it on Netflix here, but you can't watch it in England.
Carrie and I do the Star Trek Weekly and Star Trek Discovery. In some places around the world, you can just watch it on Netflix, unless you're here, and then you have to pay for an extra service, as
rude.
We discussed.
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you.
Extortionist.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Michael, your thoughts on the Runaways trailer, and what has that done to your expectations for the show?
I thought the trailer looked good. I got like kind of like Gossip Girl vibes from it.
Which
like,
you should, considering the creative team behind it.
I've only read like an episode, an issue or two of The Runaways, mm-hmm. So it's definitely the series that I know the least about. So I don't really have any certain expectations for it. But
it looks cool.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly talk about it here. I'm sure there'll be a Runaways after show too. So, but we'll talk about, we like to talk about all of these things. And so in our final moments, what we want to talk about first is Inhumans episode number 3.
Mm.
And I'm going to start because, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it, the episode ends and some jerk hits Lockjaw with his dirt bike, and you hear him, he's hurt. if that guy has hurt Lockjaw, I'm going to find him. I don't know who he is. I don't even mean the character, the actor. How dare you hurt the imaginary giant dog who can teleport? I'm most invested in that character.
I imagined this reaction when I saw it.
Because it had the... I'm like, no, Lockjaw. I was so happy when he got reignited.
He teleported his behind out of there.
When he got reunited with Crystal, I'm like, oh, thank God, she's finally back with him. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm run over. So there's a lot of other stuff that happened in that episode. But that really touched me in a bad way, though.
This is the beginning of Christian's origin story.
Yeah. this is definitely my origin story.
Dog defender.
I stood up for... I'm going to stand up for Lockjaw. Yes, Michael,
I was
sorry.
A little surprised that that took him out. Like, he's so
well, he was
big
already weakened.
Talked,
I think that's why they established that he'd been having, like, puppy quaaludes or something before he teleported. So he was already in a very weak.
He's going to be just fine. Don't you?
No, I'm really
you think
worried
you
about
have, like, a broken, like, leg or
so
something?
I haven't been sleeping. I'm very
bad
worried.
Weekend.
Yeah, it was a very bad weekend. But obviously, that was just a minor thing at the end of the episode, but I was very emotional. My favorite sequence in the whole episode was the extreme makeover in Human Edition when Medusa broke into that rich people's house and she's like, I'm going to eat an apple. I'm going to lay on somebody's bed. Hey, look, a leather coat. And somehow she got a gun. I don't remember her getting a gun, but
laser gun.
Yeah. So where did she get that gun? Is
I
that
don't
like
know.
A
found, yeah, I thought she found
I don't
it
know if it's like some piece of jewelry of hers that like turns into something. Yeah, I don't know.
Whose house was that? That's what I wanted to know. But I was very happy with finally having the story advance because, as I talked about in the premiere episode of this show, I saw it on the IMAX screen. So it had been a month since I'd seen, a continuation of the story. So I'm like, I'd been waiting. And I thought there were some funny moments, like when Medusa's trying to get the ATM to give her money. It's like, I'm Medusa, really? Queen of Avalon. I require money. And please? I'm like, see, that's funny. I don't know why people don't like the show, because I was really enjoying that.
And how they kept trying to get people to beat up Black Bolt, and they just left. Oh, no, we like him.
They're like, oh, no, he's really cool. It's like, oh, yeah, he beat up cops. He's our friend. And, I thought that was very funny. Yeah. That's probably some of the weaker things in the episode, or the prison guards. Like all of their dialogue, you're just like... So is this from, like, a high school production of Shawshank? I mean, everything they say is like, oh, we're going to have some fun, boy. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Like how you met, like a friend in prison.
The Hawaiians are great, right?
You've obviously never been to prison. We all make friends in prison. No, but I like that his friend was also gifted and inhuman.
Yeah,
and
that's
did
what
not
I
know
mean.
That.
Yeah.
And Desmond from Lost called that guy and was like, you have to, help Black Bolt. And he comes in conveniently with his helicopter at the end and all that. But before we get into some more of those specifics, just overall, Erica.
I love it.
I know. You really.
I love it now. I really do.
So
I mean,
you liked it the first two, but now.
The dialogue and stuff can be tweaked to be better.
There's some moments.
But it's
sure.
cheesy, but the story is like, it's more compelling to me. Like, when I'm watching, I actually watched the last episode twice, and I was moving around. And
so
stuff,
you,
and
so you saw puppy violence twice? I'm so sorry you had to live through that.
The puppy, I think there's something wrong with that puppy.
Because she enjoyed it.
Anyway. No, I really think the series is going to shape it. I don't know why people don't give it a chance. It's really shaping out to be pretty good. Entertaining.
Michael, your thoughts on episode 3 of Inhumans?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I really liked it. It made me really mad when the helicopter worked without her. I was like, are you kidding me?
She worked so hard. She figured out how to call a cab.
She's bad.
They don't have cabs on Adelon, And so the cab's right there. She gets there and she's like, oh, Black Bolt, you jerk.
Or I like how she gets out and just beats up the guy that's there.
There's some aggression.
She don't need
she
that
has
hair.
To work through.
She got it.
And Carrie, I don't remember.
I'm not up
yet.
To date
she's
yet,
not up
so.
To. She's gonna get.
I'll
caught
be caught up.
Up
by next week.
Yeah, so you'll get to see what happened to Lockjaw, and you'll understand why I'm so upset. These two, I don't.
Oh,
think
anytime animal gets hurt in a movie, I'm always like, what?
Even a gigantic teleporting
doesn't matter.
Dog.
It looks
yeah,
like
exactly.
A little puppy. Looks like a pug.
Let's take one more moment and talk about. We get to see Maximus's plan starting to take shape, and. Erica, you had some interesting thoughts on Maximus's plan.
I don't know. I don't see him so much as, I don't know the end story because I don't know the comic books. But right see, now,
that's
I don't
perfect
see him
for
as
somebody watching the TV show. It's yeah. because you're not going to have your, you know, your interpretation clouded yeah. by stuff that we may have read
exactly.
or may not.
Exactly. Yeah. From where I'm sitting, he's trying to help people who are human, who are normal, you know.
He's like, hey, let's undo the caste system.
Exactly. So yeah. I don't see anything wrong with him. Not, I wouldn't want to be in a mind. I'm human. You know, I would be seen as less than on their mm-hmm. planet. So I'm kind of with Maximus right now because I know he might be diabolical.
Oh, you think he might have... You think the guy who is always lit like that and has, like,
he
ominous
theme
music...
trying to kill his brother. That's... I'm not for that.
Okay, so we're going to put you down not in favor of killing your brother. Okay, good to know. And yeah, we will see more, obviously, of all of that. But, I don't know, this just had me excited about where the story is gonna go. I guess we have 8 episodes to explore this story, and, who knows what happens after that, but,
I don't feel like, even if they do just make it a limited series, I don't feel like we're gonna see their characters disappear forever.
No, probably.
I might see them show up in, maybe not a movie, but maybe an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Maybe
or,
an Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Probably
that
not,
would
though.
Be a good place.
That's
for
a
them.
Good place because supposedly everybody's going to be in that, so that's where we should see them. And Karnak's story, I thought, is interesting. He just stumbles into like a weed field or a marijuana field.
That was so random.
And it's just like, what's going on? But I think it's interesting because I love the effects of his trying to figure out the situation. Here's what's going to happen if I do this, where he can project in the future, and then he's like, great, I'm going to kick this table. Oh wait, nothing happened. So I was like, all right, that's interesting.
I also like how his what would you call that? Like a public service announcement against getting tattoos when you're very young.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, face tattoos.
That's a very different category of tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. In our last few minutes, I do want to move on and talk about The Gifted. We tiptoed around episode 1 because we had watched it before people had seen it on the West Coast, and right now, people still haven't seen it on the West Coast, episode 2. But just sort of an overall feeling. Carrie, I know that you have enjoyed...
That one I watched.
Yeah. Well, I know, because I watched this, yes. I watched it with you, so I knew.
We're up to date.
Yeah. Your thoughts so far? It'll take about 30 seconds.
I think it's very exciting. It's kind of like a constant pace. Almost has a Prison Break feel, like they're constantly on the run. So yeah. I'd be curious how that tempo changes when things relax a little bit.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I like all the different powers. I like the cast. There's a guy I'm saying from Incorporated. And yeah, I think it's cool. I'm down. I like it.
Yeah, well, let's just hope, unlike Prison Break, that they don't run out of ideas after one season. And they're great, they're out of prison. Oh, no, they're out of prison. What are we going to do with a show called Prison Break? But anyway, no, Michael, you did not see the second episode.
Unlike the rest of the West Coast.
Yeah, so it's good.
I haven't seen it yet.
So I'm going to give a light spoiler for episode 2 of The Gifted. So if you're going to get upset... Please turn off. And Michael could plug his ears.
I'm not going to get upset.
No, because I already told you.
Oh, right. Yes.
We were really harping on something last week. And people called us out in the chat, called me out. That Polaris didn't have her green hair. Well, as it turned out, she had literally the worst black hair dye in the history of hair dye.
Like the Halloween
She took one shower and then, boom, she has her green hair. And I think it's because... I complained last week that she didn't have the green hair. Like,
they went back in.
They did reshoots. They edited them in there. And they color corrected everything. And they're like, great, she's got the green hair. So that was kind of all I needed from the episode. I'm like, great, Polaris has the green hair now.
It's interesting if you watch it with subtitles. They're calling someone a name, but the subtitle will call them something else. Like they're more like character name.
Oh, I didn't really. Oh, yeah. So it'll be like Eclipse says this, and
but they
and
haven't
they
been like
Marco.
Given that.
Yeah,
yeah.
For like for secrets, turn on closed captioning, you guys.
Yeah, or just randomly, if you want to see the closed captioning, say test, and be like, well, I was watching that. But there's something referenced in this, and it can be explored in the future, is the July 15th incident is mentioned. It's sort of like a major thing, and I'm like, well, what in the hell is that? And I went to Twitter, like when I try to solve any existential problem. Twitter, tell me what that is. Twitter didn't know either.
After my birthday is a bad day.
is it Bastille Day?
I was speculating with Michael Young the other day because he's doing the panel for The Gifted.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, could this be post-Logan timeline in the future?
It doesn't, the technology doesn't match with post-Logan because that's like 2030. Droids, yeah.
We never saw America. We only saw Mexico.
I don't think the Gifted is in like a timeline with like the same cinematic universe.
But that would make sense of getting rid of the X-Men because Xavier killed off the X-Men.
Right, exactly. Oh, spoiler alert for anybody who didn't see Logan.
It's not, been out for months.
It was like a year ago. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, year, accidentally. But
the way you phrase it that way doesn't sound right.
He didn't kill the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
His power got too difficult for Charlie. Yeah, that's right. I'm tight with him. For Charlie to contain, and accidents happen. But that's what Twitter was wondering: is it the accident referenced in Logan? And I feel like the Gifted is present day. It is not a future like we have in Logan. You know, I mean, Logan does drive his semi-futuristic taxi around Texas. So we saw that it's like, okay, it's a little bit different. It's not like Blade Runner different, which was supposed to be like 2015, but whatever. Anyway, so it'll be interesting. What do you think the July 15th incident is? Seriously, tell me. I don't know, and I want to know. So you can tell us on YouTube. You can tweet us at ABTVMarvel, or you could tweet us all individually, but, probably just do it one of those other ways.
Do it in one post and tag all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Tag all of us. And how would you do that? Why, you would tag at Erica, J-A-Y-E, Green. You would tag at Michael X. Shirley. You would tag, not Kelly, but Carrie D. Wait, why did I forget your last name? Lane. Right? Okay, I was like deer in the headlights
because you were trying so hard to say.
I'm trying so hard to forget your name, Karen D. Lane, and I'm at Kirsten DMZ, and that's where you can find all of us. I will not be here next week, but the rest of the panel will. So you can share all those thoughts with them. Maybe I'll Skype in, but maybe I won't. But we, as in the show, will see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
I know, it's always...
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.